Jesus says to us that he is, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. So what good news are we talking about? Well, in Mark's gospel, we hear it from the very first verse. The good news is about Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then on top of that news, we hear again, repent, believe in this good news. And following that, his baptism. So good news is Jesus is the Son of God, and we are called to turn from our relationship to sin and death towards life and an intimate relationship with God. So the good news is that Jesus Christ is Son of God, and we are called to turn from our relationship to sin and death towards life and an intimate relationship with God. Now, Mark, as we follow along this year, is going to be filled with action and not a whole lot of sermonizing by Jesus. But the very first action after his baptism that Jesus does for us is he gets others to join him. The one who could do it all alone begins by recruiting others to be part of the process of bringing in the kingdom of God. And what was their immediate response? Their response was to immediately leave what they were doing and follow. So that kind of immediacy of their response made me think of first responders. You know, when that 911 call comes in, somewhere someone is in trouble, immediately the firefighters don on their gear, pulling up those boots, jumping to the pole and sliding down, and EMS grabs their coats, radios, and hop into their vehicle and turn on the ignition, and off they go. And police officers in mid-route of a routine day stop what they're doing, turn on their blue lights, and turn around, and all converge on that scene of trouble. Each moves immediately into the tasks they were trained to do, and the victims are rescued. Healing begins with the touch of that trained first responder. Peace is restored by the gift of the police, who can bring order into the chaos of the scene, and the threat of danger thwarted by the able skills of the firefighters present. First responders to the scene did not suddenly appear. Each was called. Each had to say, "Here I am, send me." And their skills were learned. The initial calling on their lives came before that 911 call. They prepare, they practice, they continually grow in their skills to respond to the hurts of the community that they serve. They risk their lives for us and sometimes lose their lives for us. And when we make that call, we wait for the sound of the siren and the flash of the red or blue lights. And when we see and hear those signals, we begin to feel relief because help has come. And the ones who are more skilled than us, who have the knowledge to change the course of the events that we're in the midst of, are finally with us. Sometimes, though, all of us know that even when they arrive, we face death. We still struggle with the aftermath of the trouble that has brought brokenness into our lives. Then come other first responders. Those counselors and pastors, family and friends, prayer warriors, community that receive the phone calls and immediately respond to the needs of our family, of our situation. God gifts each of us with graces and skills to be first responders so that the world might be saved, so that the world might experience that healing touch of Jesus through the touch of a human hand. That is why Jesus' first act is to recruit first responders, to follow him into the transformation of the world. So what might that look like? Well, we got a hint of it in the Old Testament passage that was read by Mike this morning, where we have a prophet who was also called to be a responder. Now, his story of answering the call placed on his life is sort of the direct opposite to the disciples this morning. In fact, Jonah went to great lengths not to answer his call. Why? Because sometimes where God calls us, we don't want to go. No matter how much we love God. And Jonah was pretty certain that carrying a message of doom to the most powerful people in the center of their power would mean his own death. Yet what is revealed in the scripture today is not about Jonah's call, but about a people's first response to the word of God proclaimed in their midst. The Assyrians who lived in Nineveh did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They did not know the story of God's love for God's people. They may have heard through casual contact with the people of Israel some strange tales of a chosen nation and a God who promised this nation that would be a blessing to the world. How they understood the great Jehovah is not told to us. All we know is that when they heard the words that Jonah was sent to deliver, they repented. The sworn enemy of Israel turned and repented. The king was so adamant that they not only do these acts of repentance, the fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, but his proclamation includes, "They shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands." And then he says this, "Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." And God did. God not only wants those we love to be saved, God wants all the world to be saved, even those we would prefer God would destroy by sending holy fire and brimstone. So God calls men and women to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation of the world, and that the kingdom of God is at hand. God has been calling people back into relationship with him since we left the Garden of Eden. God has called some to proclaim that message. Jesus on the Sea of Galilee continues to call, as he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to be first responders. Let's go back to that scene in Galilee. With those men there in their boats, mending their nets, they've probably come in from a day of fishing and found those holes, and they're just kind of on, sort of near the shoreline, hanging out in their boats, doing the work that they need to do. And this man comes and calls them. They recognize immediately that this man is somebody quite different. And not only do they recognize it, they leave the security of their profession. They leave the nets, they leave the boats, they leave family. They sever all ties, or so it appears at this time. And can you imagine, as they just walked off with this man, the look on James and John's father? As his sons go off to follow this man. And they go to learn, to follow, learn how to lead, to heal, to change the world, and to offer everyone they meet a new life of repentance and reconciliation with God and with one another. It's a new world and a new people, and they have been called to proclaim that message. But it is a difficult calling. We know that. We experience it every day of our lives. It is difficult to follow Jesus. And today we still need those first responders to go forth and proclaim the good news, to use their hands, use their feet, and the gifts and graces that they have been given, to be in a loving relationship with God and with the world, so that healing and reconciliation can happen. But the call to be a first responder is not every person's call. Let's go back to that image of that crisis and those first responders, and we know that once the situation and the victims have been stabilized, the cause of the crisis neutralized, the long, long hard work of healing begins. Work that is not done on the road, but in the homes, in hospitals, in our churches, and in our communities, in the places with which we are planted. The work of the nurse with the comforting voice, the work of the chaplain who sits and prays with us, the work of the physical therapist who teaches us how to work our injured bodies, the work of carpenters who help us rebuild our home, the work of community that brings us food and clothing and furniture, and just comes to visit and remind us that we are loved. We find God's healing touch through the insurance agent who shows us compassion and a path towards recovery. God calls us through those left behind, like Zebedee and his workers, who know the story of the one who called and the first responders who went. All of us, do you hear me, church? All of us are called into relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And some are called to be first responders. Some are called to be in place to receive those who have been brought to us through those first responders to continue their healing and growth in their relationship to God and community. Others have been called to stand for those who have no voice and speak out against injustice that harms any part of God's creation. We are all called to respond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare to hear our hymn of commitment, one that is a little more